Won't it be wonderful there? Somebody say amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 43, please. Isaiah chapter 43. It is a joy to be here this morning. We had a wonderful time at the couples retreat. Brother Jim, I'm just not sure what's wrong with him. He came up with really strange games. I have no idea. I think the guy needs to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist or something. But we had a great time. It's a joy to be here. I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, man, I thought you were a missionary in Asia. Why are you here all the time? Good question. For those of you who do not know, about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, I actually had a stroke in China. And I'll talk a little bit about that this evening. It's considered a mini stroke. And I think my wife got a little nervous about it. I was totally conscious, but I didn't know where I was, didn't know what I was doing. I asked my wife, I said, where are we? She said, China. I said, China? What are we doing in China? She said, Johnny, we live in China. We do? How long have we lived in China? And so there's a two-hour period of time. I cannot remember what happened. Anything that I know during those 2 hours, my wife has told me. I do know she upped my life insurance quite a bit during that time period. And she said it was for my own good, so I'm trusting her. But that's why I'm here. And I was taken to a hospital in China. That's a whole sermon in itself. Somebody say amen. And thankful we have a married couple. They're both doctors, and they're friends of ours. And the lady, she took us through the hospital because nobody speaks English. It would have been a really rough time. And after that, we went to an international clinic. And the doctor said, you really need to go back to the States. You might have to have surgery. And if you have surgery, you probably want to have it in the States and get some more tests. So we've had three tests. We have one more coming tomorrow. All three tests have come out normal. Somebody say amen. And now I sent an email out to my preacher friends, and one of them said, there's nothing normal about Johnny Esposito. So that's okay. I said, okay, well, the test came out normal, not me, okay. So anyway, so that's why we're back here, and that'll go along a little bit with the message this morning. Isaiah chapter 43, we do have to move rapidly, so let's all stand if you're able to. If you have a Bible, Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. You read along with me silently, if you would. Thank you for being here, and thank you for... By the way, I didn't get the memo about Old Fashioned Day, okay? I wish I had, because I was up north. I had went 7 or 8 days without shaving. I almost had like a full beard. I looked like Santa Claus, but I had to shave it because I knew if I came here with a beard, you wouldn't listen to me preach. And then I got down here. I saw my son's trying to grow a beard, three hairs. But anyway, I said, oh, man, it's old-fashioned day. I could have come and got away with it. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. The Bible says, but now thus saith the Lord that, these are not my reading glasses, that created thee, O Jacob, and he hath formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. By the way, every one of these verses I'm going to read is a message in itself. So many wonderful truths in this passage I'm reading this morning, but we can't really give comments on them all. Verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. By the way, you need to notice this morning how many times we see the word I in this passage of Scripture, God referring to himself. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, verse number 3, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Aren't you glad that God loves us? Somebody say amen. Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and I've drawn thee by my loving kindness. I've loved thee, therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not. Everybody say, fear not. 365 times in the Bible you'll find the command, fear not, or don't fear. One for each day. in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 40 through 48, you'll find seven times, fear thou not. Why? Because when we're going through trials and troubles and pain and problems, there's always this anxiety and fear that comes along. But God says to us, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north. By the way, this passage is prophetic, it's historical, but it's very practical. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. Notice, I. We need to remember, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not even about us. It's all about him. All about him. Bring verse number 8, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Verse number 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. I want you to notice these words. If you underline, highlight in the Bible, you may want to highlight, underline these words. That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse number 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Go to Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 10, real quickly if you would. And then we'll have a word of prayer and share a few thoughts with you this morning. Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 10. The Bible says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. This is the Thanksgiving season. We thank you for all that you've done in each and every one of our lives. But most of all, Lord, this morning, we thank you for who you are. You are God. You are Creator. You are Redeemer. You are Savior. You are our Sustainer. And I pray, Father, this morning, in the few moments that we have, God, I pray that you would encourage and bless us. I pray, Father, this morning that you'd help us to realize that trials will come and troubles will come. Problems will come and pain will come. But regardless of what storms come our way, regardless of what fire that we have to go through, you're always there with us. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Is this on? Yeah, good. The book of Isaiah is a wonderful book. It is a book that is filled with prophecies, a lot of historical things in the book that just have practical lessons. In this book, you see the emphasis on the glory of God as well as the godlessness of man. And when you get to Isaiah chapter 43, if you still have your Bibles open, you get to Isaiah chapter 43. In verse number 1 and verse number 2, you just see some powerful thoughts. And if I had time, I'd like to be able to expound on them. But we don't have the time this morning. But he's created us. He's formed us. He's redeemed us. He's called us. And by the way, he's called us for a purpose. But I want you to notice in verse number 2, if you would. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, can I get to say fire? When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And then verse number 3, for I am the Lord thy God. You know, over the last 3 months, it's been a little bit of a trying time for myself, my wife, for our family. 3 months ago, my wife and I had to fly here to the States because our grandbaby went to heaven. We were here for 3 weeks, and after we were here for 3 weeks, we flew back to China, We were only in China for about a week, and then we flew to Laos. We had a scheduled meeting in Laos with our team in Laos. We were in Laos for 7 or 8 days. We flew back to China, and I don't think it was another week where I had this mini stroke, and I had to fly back here to the States. And you know, if you're anything like me, we know, we hear preaching and teaching, and I preach and teach, and we say, we should never question God. We should never ask why. We should always ask what. Somebody say amen. But you know, it's always easier to preach it than to practice it. Somebody say amen. So I am, this morning, as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to a whole lot of people. Pastor Joe's with us this morning. Thank God for that. I'm talking to a lot of people. You've been here for years, and you've heard Pastor Joe say many, many times, you're either going through a storm, you just came out of a storm, or we've got some really bad news for you. There's a storm coming your way. Somebody say amen. In other words, life is filled with storms. Life is filled with trials and troubles and problems and pain. And this morning, even though it's the Thanksgiving season, there are some here this morning, you're suffering. There's some here this morning, there are maybe possibly there are marital problems. There are some here this morning, there may be problems with the family. There may be some here this morning where there's health issues and you're concerned. There are some here this morning where maybe recently you lost a loved one. You know, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I had this idea that once you got saved and once you started living for God and start going to church and read your Bible and praying, all those things you're supposed to do, somebody say amen, that everything was going to be all right. But you know, the older we get, the more we see that's not true. In this passage of Scripture, God is speaking to his people, and it's a prophecy about the future Babylonian captivity and the deliverance from Babylon, and again, a lot of prophecy there about God's people. They were going to be going through the fire. Now, in their situation, it was because they rebelled against God. They sinned against God. And by the way, sometimes we go through the fire. Sometimes the storms come our way. How many of you have ever had a storm, a financial storm in your life, and it was your fault? Somebody say amen. Anybody? Yeah. Now, normally the husband blames the wife, right? And normally the wife knows better. Amen. But God is talking about his people, and they're chosen in a furnace of affliction. But he says, whether you go through the storms, the rivers, he said, I'm going to be with you. Isn't it good to know that God is with us? Yes. But you know, come on, let's be honest. Sometimes we have to be honest, right? Even though we know God has promised to be with us, I mean, it's in the Bible. Even though we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Well, we know those, and we know all the verses. Somebody say amen. And it's all up here. When we're going through the fire, we normally ask, why? Why the fire? Lord, why have you allowed this to happen? This sickness, these relationship problems. We get alone and we walk the streets. We say, God, why? God, why have you allowed this to happen? God, I'm serving you, and I'm doing the things that I ought to be doing, and I'm trying. With your help and by your grace, I'm trying to follow you and to serve you, and yet these things have come our way. Why? And this morning, for just a few moments, that's what I want to talk about. Why the fire? We don't need to talk about the fact that the fire is going to come, because it's going to come. The fire, look at the fire purifies, it purges us, it perfects us, it prepares us. But when we're going through the midst of the trial, when the storms of life come, when the fire comes, when the water seems like it's going to overflow, and we know the truths of the Bible, we often ask, why the fire? Fire. And this morning, you may be going through a trial. By the way, again, if you're not going through the fire today, I have some really bad news for you. It's coming. Somebody say amen. It's coming. Everybody in here, you either are just coming out of the fire, you're just coming out of the storm, you're in it right now, or it's just not too far ahead. And so why the fire? I've been saved now for 39 years. My wife and I, this next month, will be married 36 years, I think, 36 years. By the way, neither one of us know, but it's been a long time. And, you know, we don't have time, but we've went through a lot of storms. We've went through a lot of trials, and so have you. Now, we can call up just about everybody, if not everybody, and bring you up, and you can share the stories, the pain and the sorrow and the problems and the trials that you are either going through or you've already went through in the past. So the question today is, why the fire? I want you to look, if you have your Bible still open, Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 10 and 11. Of course, in verse number 7, he said, even everyone that is called by my name, man, I got to take these glasses off, called by my name, for I've created him for my glory, I have formed him, for I've made him. God created us, he redeemed us for a purpose. It's not just so that we can say, my sins are forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven. Thank God for that. But I want you to look at verse number 10 and verse number 11. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. And remember Isaiah 48:10. Ye are I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Why the fire? Very simple. So that we can know that he's God. And he's in control. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but my wife and I were talking about it this morning. And right after I had the mini stroke, I said, you got to pray for me. I said, I'm not worried about my health. I said, my emotional state. Here's why. Because I like to have control over my life. I like to have control over. Now, I know I'm not supposed to. Somebody say amen. Look, the older you get, the more you know that a lot of things we preach, we don't practice. Somebody say amen. And I told my wife, I said, look, you really got to pray for me. I said, because, look, and this morning we were having this conversation. I told my wife, I said, look, you know, what are you, you're always saying, Lord, why the fire? What are you doing? Because, see, we need to understand, God is always doing something. But here's what he's doing. He's trying to bring us to a place where we understand we don't have control over our life. We are not the masters of our destiny. Somebody say amen. It's all about him. So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're going to go through next week or next year. But when we ask the question, why the fire? Ultimately, here is why the fire. Why does God allow the fire to come? Why does God allow the storms to come? Why does God allow us to lose a child? Why does God allow us to hear the words, you have cancer? Why does God allow us to... You fill in the blank. So that we can recognize that he is God. He's in control. And it's not about what I want. It's not about what I desire. It's not about my plans. It's not about my purpose. It's all about Him. So this morning, I'm talking to a whole lot of folks, and I don't know the problem you're going through. It may be your marriage, and you're saying, why the fire? It may be with your children, and you're saying, why the fire? It may be with your health, and you're saying, asking why the fire? It may be with your finances, and you're asking, Lord, why the fire? Ultimately, it always comes down to this. God wants us to get to the place where we could pray like this. Oh Lord, in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our pain, help us to recognize your presence and acknowledge your preeminence. You are God. God is God. We say, I've shared this before, a couple times I've asked Pastor, you know, we always said, God is good all the time, God is good. And sometimes I'll go visit Pastor and he'll say that, and I'll start it, he'll finish it, and that's true. But the truth of the matter is this, it goes even beyond that. God is God. Whether we recognize the goodness or not, somebody say amen. Let me give you real quickly, we don't have much time, three practical thoughts this morning. When you're going through the fire, understanding why the fire, God's drawing us to Him. Number one, He is trying to draw us closer to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Look, for me, I by nature, I'm a Martha. I'm busy. As soon as we fly back to China, you are not going to believe this. 3 days after we fly back to China, I am scheduled to fly into Cambodia for 1 week and then fly to Thailand. That's the nature of the beast. We may try to change that because we've been gone so long. But a lot of times we get so busy, and sometimes so busy even doing the work of the King that we don't have time for the King. Somebody say amen. And so when you're going through the fire, when you're going through the trial, when you seem to have lost all control, you know what? Almost always God is trying to draw us closer to Jesus. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter how faithful we are to a church service. It's how faithful we are to the Christ of the church service. So number one, He's always drawing us closer to Jesus. Number two, He's trying to make us more like Jesus. Somebody say amen. When you're going through the fire and you're going through the trials, you're going through the storm, there's marital problems, there's problems with the children, there's financial problems, there's physical problems, maybe you lose a job, whatever the issue is, you're going through a fire. It may be self-inflicted, but it may not. But all things work together for good. Not only is He drawing us closer to Jesus, He's trying to conform us more into the image of Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. I've been saved 39 years now, I think, 39 years. When we look into the Word of God, we realize how far we fall short of the life of Christ. We don't think like Him. We don't live like Him. We don't talk like Him. We don't love like Him. We don't serve like Him. So you know what? When we go through the fire and we're drawing closer to Jesus, you know what He's doing? He's also conforming us into the image of His dear Son. You know what? The world does not need to see you and doesn't need to see me. It doesn't need to hear you and doesn't need to hear me. But they do need to see Jesus. Somebody say amen. So when we go through the trials, when we go through the pain, when we go through the sorrow, when we go through the storm, when we go through the fire, it's all about recognizing that He's God, drawing us closer to Him, conforming us into His image. I'm not sure what you're going through this morning. I don't know what storm you're going through this morning. I don't know what fiery furnace you're going through this morning. But I do know this. There's a purpose for the pain. There's a purpose for the problems. God never does, or God never allows anything without a purpose. And Job said, and Job went through a lot of pain, and Job went through a lot of, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Because Job knew, when I go through this trial, when I go through this problem, I shall come forth as gold. Maybe this morning you're not going through the fire. Maybe this morning everything's hunky-dory. Trust me, the fire's coming. Maybe this morning you are going through the fire and you wonder why. That we might know, that we might believe, that we might understand that He is God. God. And while we're going through the fire, He's drawing us closer to Himself. While we're going through the fire, He's conforming us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Number three, 2 minutes. Number three, when we're going through the fire, He's exalting Christ to a lost and dying. Let me say this, we don't have time to expound on this. When Christians go through the fire like Christians should go through the fire, it brings glory to God. When a Christian wife like a Miss Mary could go for 4 years through the fire, the furnace of affliction that she's gone through, with the spirit that she's gone through, you know what it does? It points people to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. When an Oscar and Maggie could stay faithful for many, many years in a church like ours, stay faithful to God in spite of all the problems and all the pain that they've suffered, yes, you know what it does? It causes us to say, God is good. Yes. Somebody say amen. Amen. I see my nephew Ryan, when Mrs. Ramirez, my sister Sally, when their family stays faithful to God and walks with God and stays in church and continues to do what they ought to do in spite of all the problems, in spite of all the pain, it causes others to say, there's a God in heaven. Somebody say amen. And we could call off many, many names. And so when we're going through the fire, it's good to know that God is with us. When we're going through the fire, we're going through the storms, it's good to know, recognize His presence is there, but we have to acknowledge His preeminence and allow God to do what He wants to do in your life. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I've been in the ministry long enough to know this. The vast majority of you are going through something this morning. There's some pain. There's some problems. Some questions. You came to the church service this morning, you put a smile on your face, but the truth of the matter is, deep down inside, you didn't have a smile. But I just want to say, there's a purpose for the fire. He's going to be there with you. But not only is He going to be there with you, He's going to draw you closer to Him. Not only is He going to draw you closer to Him, He's going to use the fire to purify you, purge you, change you into the image of Christ. And He'll use the fire so that others will see that God is God. I'll close with this. Most of you have heard the story. Many, many years ago, there was an apprentice. He worked for a goldsmith. And he was a young man. He was training to be a goldsmith. And in those days, they would melt the gold down and the impurities of the gold would come to the top, and they would scrape it off, and they'd keep the fire burning, keep the fire hot, and more impurities would come up. They'd scrape it off, and so the apprentice and the goldsmith were there doing their thing, and finally the apprentice was a lot like Brother Johnny, a little impatient. Somebody say amen. And the apprentice said, "Hey, when are we going to know this is all done? I mean, we've been here for a while. The fire's been burning and the impurities been coming up and you've been scraping them off. How are we going to know when it's done?" And the old goldsmith said, "When we can look into the gold and see our reflection." How are we going to know when the fires of life are over? How are we going to know when the fires of life that are burning the impurities, purging us of the impurities in our life, are over? When God can look over and see the reflection of His Son Jesus in your life and my life. Let's stand and let's pray.